Welcome to Happy Horror Time. My name is Tim Murdoch.
And I am Matt Emmert. And if you are a Friday the 13th or
Nightmare on Elm Street fan,
we have someone that we are interviewing today that you are absolutely going to love. We have the sole survivor of Freddy versus, no, not the sole survivor, the dual survivor,
oh, but that's
the,
right, yeah.
Yes, the final girl from
the final girl.
Yes, from final. Freddy versus Jason, the lovely, the talented Monica Kina.
Hello!
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. So good to be here.
We just have to tell people listening that we are so fortunate that, so a friend of Tim and ours, Stephen Wallace, we want to give him a shout out, connected us to Monica because we all used to be on a kickball team together.
Called the
Scream Queens. And we actually mentioned this in our last interview, but we each had our favorite Scream Queen on the back of our uniform. And Stephen had M. Kina, Monica Kina on it. But Monica, not only was she so awesome to do this interview, she actually came to one of our kickball games.
Yes.
You remember that?
I do. I have the picture still. That was so fun. And remember, I was basically like sort of the like celebrity guest like mascot or something. And it was so fun. And I wore red. I wore, because your guys' uniforms were all red. And yep. Yes, Stephen's name was, my name was on the back of Stephen's jersey, which was awesome. And so I wore all red. And we have that one picture of all of us, me and the whole team, like screaming.
Yes. I mean, how cool
love
is it?
Love that first picture.
We got one of the actual Scream Queens to come to our game. So yeah. That was great. And that was, I think, 6 years ago, right?
Can you believe it? I can't. Seems like yesterday.
It does.
So we have a lot of questions for you today. And forgive us if you've heard some of these questions before, because I'm sure people ask you some of the same things. But like the first thing obviously we wanted to ask about it was what was the audition process like for Freddy versus Jason? Like, did you know how popular these franchises were at that point when you were auditioning?
No, I really didn't. You would think I would, but I really didn't. I never was a big horror fan growing up, just because, to be honest, I almost feel like I've told this story several times before and it seems so perfect to be true, but the fact of the matter is the first and I was hoping last horror movie I've ever seen was Nightmare on Elm Street. Oh. And it was and I was never I never the, like the most intense any television or movie viewing got at my house was like the Flintstones, you know.
Incredibly intense.
Yeah. And so when I was in second grade and I grew up in Brooklyn, I slept over at my best friend Leanne's house and Nightmare on Elm Street was on TV. And I remember Leanne and her two cousins, what were their names? Tammy and Teresa. They were twins. They were like glued to the screen and they were loving it. And I was just so disturbed and terrified. And I was trying to close my eyes and look away, but I didn't want to look like I wasn't cool. So, I did my best to try to like block out the sound, you know, without actually, I was like humming in my head and sort of just like pretending like to look around the room at like different, you know, I don't know, the wallpaper or whatever, be like anything to sort of divert my attention.
You're a fan.
And you're like, hey, you guys have Flintstones on DVD. Can we just watch the Flintstones?
I mean, anything scary. And of course, this movie's about this terrifying looking guy that comes for you in your sleep through your dreams. So I was like, oh, great. Well, now I can't. That's it. I can never sleep again. And I resolved myself to just trying to do that. And I mean, it got to the point that the teachers at my school started getting concerned about me because I looked like I was traumatized. I looked
because you weren't sleeping? Because you weren't sleeping?
And I guess I lost so much weight. I got like super skinny. I had like circles under my eyes. I looked like a zombie. And my mom was, I guess she got really concerned too after that happened. So my mom found, I think this was like long ago. She went to the library, I remember, and she found a picture of Robert Englund as Robert Englund, or an article or something, but it had pictures one next to the other of him as looking like a normal guy without the makeup, and then him in makeup in a picture right beside that. And I had that taped up to my wall near my bed for honestly, until I was like a teenager. I remember just like having like a mantra before I went to sleep at least in the beginning. And then I thought it was bad luck to take it down ever. So
oh,
I
my
never
God.
Did. Wow. But like, I used to say, like, he's not real. He's not real. He's not real. It's just a movie. He's not real. And that was the first and last and only horror movie I'd really ever seen wow. as a
and then cut
child.
You darn one.
Yeah, but wait. Yeah. So when you auditioned, were you like, oh my God, this is my chance to face my demons? Like, I mean,
you know, I honestly, by that time, I sort of, believe it or not, like, I don't know if this was conscious or unconscious. I kind of didn't put the two together. I did when we were shooting. I certainly did, because then it all sort of came flooding back to me, and I thought, like, oh my God. But I remember, oh my gosh, I forgot to tell you this. When I was a little girl, when my mom explained to me the thing about it being a movie and not being real, I remember, my parents remember this too. I had like a moment of just almost like a tantrum that I said, when I grow up, I'm going to become an actress. And I'm never going to make movies that scare little kids.
Cut to 2003, star of Freddy vs. Jason, Monica Keaton. No.
But I thought my little self would be really proud of me because I finally got revenge. And I thought, well, if I were to do a scary movie, it should be this one where I get to kill this motherfucker. Who, you know, ruined my childhood.
That story sounds like the plot of one of the Nightmare on Elm Street movies, and like that is amazing. So you're saying when you were auditioning, you didn't quite know exactly what it was for, or you were?
Well, I knew, but I honestly, here's the thing too, is that this the scene that I did for it, and I don't think I put the two together because it was called Freddy versus Jason, and I didn't. It was pretty early on, so they didn't release the script or anything. And I guess I didn't necessarily tie the name Freddy to it being a Nightmare on Elm Street thing and that being connected to Friday the 13th. And so I just knew it was for a project called Freddy versus Jason. And I didn't really delve into it any more than that. And the audition scene that I did was, I believe it was the scene that I do on the stairs, like with my father, where we're talking about Weston Hills. Is he really a doctor there, or isn't he? And that, and so there wasn't a lot of mention of, there wasn't any mention of either of the two main icons, Freddy or Jason, in the scene.
So you're like, I'm doing a drama where my father killed my mother, and his name's Freddy and her name's Jason.
How many?
Yeah, exactly. And I knew that in the scene it said my boyfriend's name was Will, because I say, like, and you knew that Will was there this whole time? And, you know, so I just, I didn't really think too much about it. But I was surprised, I'll tell you this. At the end of that scene, the casting director and the director, Ronnie Yu, we're like, oh, wow, great. That was great. Great job. And then I said, okay, well, do you want me to do anything else? And the casting director's name is Matthew Barry said, no, I think that was great. I don't have any notes. But then Ronnie Yu said, Monica, wait, can you do one thing? And I said, okay, sure. And he said, scream as loud as you can, as long as you can. At the top of your voice. And I was like, okay. And so I did. And I didn't know what that had to do with anything. But
you're like, I'm in this beautiful new Christmas movie, everyone. That is crazy.
I did. And I guess I had a good scream. So
that was your audition? Or like, did you have to come back?
That was my one audition. And then I was told that they wanted me to screen test, and the original person playing Jason Ritter's role of Will was Brad Renfro. And so he was already cast, I guess, and as Will, and they wanted me to fly out to Vancouver to screen test against him. And I did. And after that, I that was it. Then I got the part.
That's awesome.
And what happened with Brad Renfro when they, what made them replace him? Was it?
Well, I'm not sure. I thought he was great. I was really excited to work with him because I was a big fan. But then by that point I knew, like, oh, okay, this is like about Freddy Krueger. And Brad was a huge Nightmare on Elm Street fan, and he was really, really excited to do it. Oh. I think that they
went in another direction.
Yeah, I think that they were concerned that he might have like some substance abuse issues at the time or something. I'm not sure. But God bless him. He was such a great kid. I loved him. I mean, I'm like so grateful for the experience that I even got to act with him in that screen test. I wish I could get a copy of it. Maybe someday I can. And then I spent, honestly, after I screen tested, I didn't leave. I didn't leave Vancouver. I screen tested very closely to a shooting. So I just stayed and I started doing costume fittings and everything. And he was still there too for about another week. And he stayed for another week after he was replaced or let go or whatever. And so I got to, it was a really fun experience just knowing him, because, you know, sadly he's gone now, and it was great getting to spend some time with him, because he's a really special, really talented, great guy.
Yeah, no, I could totally see him in that role, you know, I feel like having seen it. Did, when they cast Jason Ritter, did they have you re-screen test like with him to make sure he was right? Yeah.
Yes, they did. They did.
What
they did.
A process.
I know. Were you like, oh, okay, when is this going to start? And like,
well, I, it was, no, I mean, it was funny too. It all happened really fast. It all happened very fast. In fact, I was so surprised when Brad left, because we only had about a week before we started shooting at that point. Mm-hmm. So, I had no idea how they would even start the process again of finding somebody to replace him. But, and I didn't know this at the time either, but Jason Ritter was great. And I had met him briefly years before. I forget how, I don't forget how. He went to NYU. I went to NYU. That's how I had known him. I mean, I didn't know him, but I had met him a couple of times. He was a really sweet guy. And I was very excited if Brad weren't going to play that part, that it would be Jason. Because Jason is totally different, but, like, was just as good, just very as amazing. Likeable. And so likable. And definitely. I didn't realize that Ronnie Yu had directed what's it called?
Bride of the Chucky? Bride of,
yes! Yes!
with John Ritter.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah,
that is so funny.
He had already known Jason a little bit through his father, and John Ritter. Oh my God, he was the best. He visited us on the set. He stayed for a week.
He did,
was so
really
funny.
Yes. Oh my God, that's so sweet to be able to, like, that you have the fact that you have memories and experiences with people who, you know, have now passed away that you can look back on and memories. That's so cool. Yeah. So he was there for a week with hanging out.
He was so he was the best. And I mean, I know that. That's a really special memory for Jason as well, because that was sort of Jason Ritter's big sort of breakout role, and for his dad to have spent so much time there with us. And, you know, the last that I saw John Ritter was at the premiere of the movie, and my mom went up to him and said, "Are you Jason Ritter's father?" And he said, yes.
He's like, yes, I'd like to say that Jason Ritter is John Ritter's son.
But, you know. Well, she wanted a way to, like, she just wanted a cute introduction for her to be like, yeah, well, I'm Monica Keenan's mother. I'm Mary.
That's amazing.
And you know, he was so sweet. And so, but he didn't say, he wasn't like, you know, he wasn't offended or like in any way, like, I don't know, rude. And he was just like, well, yes, I am. I am Jason's father. And she said, oh, okay, because I'm Monica Keenan's mom.
That's amazing. You know, I know you obviously worked with a lot of great people on the film, but two specific people we wanted to ask you about. Robert Englund and Kelly Rowland. And Robert Englund, obviously, he obviously has been Freddy Krueger for like 8 different films. So we wanted to ask about where. And then Kelly Rowland, who had not done a lot of acting, but was known for Destiny's Child. So what was your experiences with them like? Maybe Robert first, I guess.
Well, with Robert, what's funny is I just told you that whole story that he, you know, destroyed my
childhood.
Yeah, I know. You're like, hey, you scared the shit out of me and made people think that my family was abusing me. So thanks.
Totally. But, you know, okay, and here's the thing. Do you remember that movie? I think it's called The New Nightmare.
Yeah.
I didn't see that yet. But that was very similar to my experiences sort of on the set with him. And I never told him about how he ruined my childhood till the very last day of shooting, because I just was sort of using it and everything. But I do remember, like, when we would wrap shooting for the day, and particularly if I had a bunch of scenes with him and a lot of interaction with Robert Englund as Freddy Krueger, even after we'd wrapped and I'd go back to my hotel, I couldn't tell if it was like real or not. And like, it was like that movie, The New Nightmare.
Taking it home,
like,
with
he
you.
He became an entity all to himself. And it was like, I knew that wasn't real at this point, but it was crazy. It was scary.
And, you know, Jason doesn't talk, so there's no scare.
Yeah,
there.
There's no scare. Yeah. But I've heard Robert Englund is just like a really easygoing, fun
he's
guy.
He's such a nice guy. He's so laid back. He's so nice. He is the best storyteller of anybody. Like, I've done conventions with him since then, and I'm riveted. Like, I can't, it's like I'm hypnotized whenever he's talking, and he just tells all of these stories about how he came to be Freddy Krueger and all of his experiences throughout. And he's just the nicest guy. He's like a surfer dude. He's that's just so like so laid back and relaxed. And that's what's so funny too. The dichotomy of it is that you would never think somebody with his sort of demeanor and personality would even be capable of playing such a terrifying character that ruined my childhood.
Yeah, they're ruined. I know, I guess it speaks to like acting chops. I mean, that's the thing. He is like known for Freddy Krueger, and I've like, that's his legacy, and he's totally embraced it, which is really cool.
Absolutely.
But it's nice to hear that he's a nice guy. I mean, I'm sure that makes it easier if he was awkward and weird. Well, I guess you'd be extra scared of him. But it's cool. How about with Kelly Rowland, because I know, obviously, had you known her from Destiny's Child before that,
and
what was she like working with? Because has she done much acting before then?
As far as I know, this was her first acting experience. I think this was the first acting job she ever had, and she, it's when I look back on that movie, everybody was so amazing and so awesome, but she in particular was just like the most self-deprecating, like, loving, sweetest girl in the world, like beyond like nice. And I mean, she gave me so many amazing compliments too. Like, she, but she did. She told me I reminded her of Beyonce.
Ooh, did she ever show up on set?
No, but they talked all the time. They were like sisters. Like, I remember just being like, oh my God, Kelly's on the phone again. And she'd be like, hello, B. And I was like, I know that's Beyonce. I know she's, oh, that's so crazy. And I'd be sitting next to her in the van going to work and just like giggling to myself, being like, this is so cool.
That is a pretty cool, like, for her, for her first acting job to be in like a huge franchise film. Also, she is like, I guess, like, one of the main supporting characters. Oh, so it's not meaning it wasn't like a throwaway role or anything.
I thought she was great in it. And it's so sweet. I saw an interview with her. Honestly, I just saw it like 2 years ago. I'm not sure when she did it, but she was talking about how that was her first acting job, and how I guess she was really nervous and she didn't. She was unsteady and sort of unsure of herself. And she said that I was so helpful to her, and I, you know, was so supportive, which was so nice.
Yeah, like, no, that is really cool.
Yeah. Like, I mean, there's this one scene where she says, like, she's talking about the kids dying, and she says, like, it's another Columbine thing. And, like, she said, like, I forget, she kept saying it, she wasn't familiar with the whole Columbine shooting thing, and so she kept sort of saying Columbine or something, and I remember just giving her one little note that I was like, I know, sometimes words get annoying, especially if you say them over and over again, they sound even weirder, like, than the actual word itself, so I said, just think, like, cauliflower. She was so grateful for that, like, one little note, and I'd forgotten that I even ever told her that. But
do you have one of those, like, look at the script, know your lines, like, do you have that? I don't have that.
Yeah, I do. I think I have, like, what do they call it, like a photographic memory.
That's awesome.
Like, yeah, I can just read it, or I can just look at it once and sort of know it So
that's a good skill to have. I don't have it.
So your character, Lori, first off, I got a random question. Lori Campbell is her name. Do you know if that was an homage to like Lori Strode and Nev Campbell or anything like that? I was just looking at that because it's Lori Campbell. I'm not sure if they did it on
I don't know. That's a really good question.
It's funny because you know what I mean? Her name is Lori Campbell and it's combined too. But anyway, what I was going to say is one
side.
Well, let's just say that it was.
Hey, totally is. Yeah. No, but one thing that I think is so cool and that's so unique to your character is that she's a survivor of not just one horror franchise, but two horror franchises. Like literally, you know how it is. In horror movies, barely anybody survives. But the fact that you're still a survivor in two franchises and you're part of two franchises, like how does it feel to have the legacy of being like a major part of two different horror franchises?
It's amazing. I can't even tell you how amazing it is. And to be honest, I'm pretty glad. I think I'm fortunate that I wasn't aware of what a big deal it was or was going to be at the time, because I think it would have just been too overwhelmingly intimidating. Yeah, exactly. So
when you go to the conventions and you see like the survivors of Friday 13th, the final girls of that film and the Nightmare on Elm Street girls, do you get along with them?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I get along with all of them. It's a really nice little unique little
exclusive
clique of people.
Club.
Yes, exactly.
Have you done a lot of conventions? Like
I've done a couple. I mean, not a lot, but I'm still relatively new to them, but one of the conventions that I did, it was called the Women of Elm Street. And so it was me like as the final one. But it started with, I remember, oh gosh, what's her name? Amanda, who was in the original. Oh,
Amanda Weiss, Wiss?
yeah, she was in the dream sequence.
Tina.
That scene is amazing. And she is so cool. She was so cool. Then this other girl, what's her name? Jennifer Rubin?
Yeah.
She was so cool. Oh my God. And she was so hot in that movie. Which one was that? Nightmare?
She was in Nightmare on Street. The Dream Warriors.
The Dream Warriors, yes. I love that movie. So anyway, since having shot Freddy versus Jason, I've become a big fan of both of the franchises. So like, you know, so I'm like a fan of the girls when I see them at conventions. Like I was so like flattered that Amanda or Jennifer even were talking to me, because I was like, oh my God, she's so cool. I remember
that is really cool.
Yeah.
You know, the thing is, obviously, you've had a very illustrious career. Like, I know we're talking just about Freddy vs. Jason because we're a horror podcast, but you know, you've been in a lot of stuff. But I wonder, is this the movie most people, like, approach you about, or most people kind of...
Yes.
It is?
Cool. Yeah, like, sure.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, because it's like, it's so funny.
But your career is huge. Your IMDb is, there's such a wow factor. And like Matt and I watched Snow White with Sigourney Weaver.
Yes, Snow White, where I think you push her head into a mirror, which I was like, you got to push Sigourney Weaver's head into a mirror. I mean,
I know. No, that's pretty badass. I know. Same thing. Like, it's like, damn.
You were so roughed up in Freddy versus Jason and Snow White. Like, everything is so physical. Do you find those days just so exhausting or fun?
I find them fun. I mean, they're exhausting. Like, it's funny. Like, those aren't as exhausting to me as like very intense emotional scenes that are just like that have no physicality. To me, because that's like the real work is when you have to really emote and, you know, just be in a dark place for the whole, I don't know, 12 hours that day. And that's hard. The physical stuff is just fun. And I mean, honestly, this is funny too, but I have a real affinity for blood now. Like, I love the fake blood. like the more the better, you know? And I guess it started with Freddy versus Jason. Then I did another it's pretty popular with the fans. It's called Night of the Demons.
Yes, of course.
Covered in blood. Yeah.
With and Shannon Elizabeth and Edward Furlong and a bunch of people in that. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
And so, that's a big franchise in its own, like doing that. Yeah. And that's cool.
Did you happen to see the original of Night of the Demons? What did you think of that?
I loved that movie. But again, I didn't put them together. Like, I had seen Night of the Demons years before I auditioned for our Night of the Demons, and I had no real, like, I just didn't, I don't know. I don't know if that's like selective, like memory blanking or something, or because
it's probably, it might be better actually, because then if you're too much of a fan of the movie you're about to be in, it's almost like you can't like be authentic, you know? Like,
exactly. So, but I remember telling the director, and this was after I was cast already. His name's Adam Girosh. He's the director of that movie, of Night of the Demons. And he was asking me the same question. Have you ever seen the original? And I said, I have, but I don't really remember it. But I remember it being really fun. And I'll watch it again. He said, no, don't watch it. Don't watch it before we shoot our movie. Because same thing, that he didn't want me to be influenced one way or another. And the story was a bit different. And same thing. It's just he didn't want me to have some preconceived notion of what I was supposed to do or not supposed to do.
But you do notice that, like, you play the strong survivor in all of these movies. Like, that must feel pretty good, because it's just like, you know, especially like, you know, horror has a lot of different types of characters, but to be able to play like this strong, tough, responsible, surviving person, and in both of those films, like that is pretty cool. It's very respectable, and it's like someone people can really look up to and people kind of idolize, especially. So
you're a role model.
No, but that's the thing. It's true. I know it sounds funny, but like, you really are, for horror fans and horror geeks like us, like you really are, like, people who play these strong female characters, you know, and like the ones that take care of people, the one that are nice, the ones that fight back, like, are really have an impact on a lot of people's lives. So we are like,
we're
so grateful for it.
Thank you so much. And also, what's funny is that I'm so small, is that, like, you know, I'm like barely 5'2", so I think it's a real testament to,
you're a petite little lady.
Yeah.
And but I, you know what, it's not size. It's not all about size, right,
Matt? Clean it up.
But I think in both those, and probably it's a common theme in all of the movies, where, like, with the final girl, the heroine, the sole survivor, is that we don't start out that way. We start out like in a way that we seem very vulnerable, very not weak, but just
relatable,
inexperienced. Just like a normal little bit
girl next door.
and you wouldn't think that we would necessarily have the tools or the intellect or the strength to overcome and defeat these huge villains that we're up against. And I think people can just relate to sort of the journey of
No, definitely. You know, one thing we wanted to ask, after being in Freddy versus Jason, like, how did that affect your career path? Like, did you see it helping with career path, or was it, because, you know, so many people look back on horror in different ways. Like, some people are like, oh, so incredibly proud, and it launched their careers. And other people are like, oh, like, don't even want to think about it, you know? Right. And you were already, like, definitely into your career at that time. But how did it factor into your career path?
Well, I mean, I think just since that was sort of the biggest,
had a huge opening. It was like number one.
Exactly. It was like the biggest studio film that I had done. So either whether I liked horror or didn't, or, you know, if I was into the genre or wasn't, the fact of the matter is that was like a very successful money-making project that, so it certainly helped me out. But I didn't gravitate towards horror quickly after that, because I didn't want to be typecast, and I thought, like, I sort of already was at the peak of, like, you know, because I remember I was offered this other movie, the sequel to Jeepers Creepers 2.
Oh, yes. Okay.
And then what's funny is that we were number one, Freddy vs. Jason was number one in the box office for 2 weeks. And then what came out, which I guess kind of kicked us out of there, was Jeepers Creepers 2. But I had turned down that part because they had offered me the role before we had shot Freddy vs. Jason, but I'd already been cast in it. And I didn't want to just be like, you know, like, I don't know why, if I could do it again, I remember thinking like, I don't want to just be this back-to-back horror girl, but it's like, why not? Like,
yeah, I know. No, it's great. And especially if you get to play these really great roles where you're like, you know, you're fighting, you're crying, you're screaming. It's like, talk about a depth of emotion.
Here's a fun fact. When I first moved here, I auditioned for Jeepers Creepers 2.
Really?
Yeah. It was for Izzy, as in Izzy or isn't he?
Yes. Have you seen Jeepers Creepers 2? Yeah.
Isn't about me.
Tim auditioning for Monica. A gay character. That's crazy. Yes. No, that's so funny. I actually know exactly the role that you probably were offered because I think
Nikki Acox, my friend who I've worked with in the past, she and I did a movie together called Crime and Punishment in Suburbia. This movie with
I love that movie.
You do? Oh, yeah. Thank you. With Ellen Barkin and Jeffrey Wright and Michael Ironside, Vincent Carthage, whatever. But the point is, she was in it and she played my best friend in that movie. And so she had a couple of scenes with me and she thanked me after, because I saw her after she had shot Jeepers Creepers 2. And I guess it was that I had, I was the one that they wanted first. And then after me, their second choice was her. And she said she was so grateful that I passed on it because it gave her the opportunity to do that role. And I was happy to have her do it because she's great and she's a sweet girl. But I remember her being like, oh my God, thank you so much for not doing the work.
She's like, thank you for passing. So you were saying that after Freddy vs. Jason was so big, were a lot of horror movies trying to get you or was it more just studio release things or because, yeah, how did, what happened with that?
I think I had sort of, like I said, I sort of already told my agents that I kind of wanted to stay clear of horror just for a little while. Mm-hmm. But in terms of it being a big studio movie, like I said, I was offered this role in a movie called, it used to be called Cheer Up, but now it's called Man of the House with Tommy Lee Jones as a cheerleader.
Yeah.
You did? Thank you. So that sort of opened the door for me, like, to be a contender for really big Hollywood studio films, for sure.
No, that's cool. Because, I definitely see it. Look, as much as we love horror, like I totally understand if someone doesn't want to be like only in one genre or even to try it out.
Like you said, it does not get much bigger than Freddy versus Jason. Like it's right. Like you, girl. I mean, like it's the best role ever. So
thank you very much. But then, but I really did enjoy. I didn't know that I would like doing a horror movie. And I didn't realize how fun it would be. So then, just after a little while went by, when Night of the Demons came around and they offered me that, I was happy to say yes to it, and I was really excited because. At that time, I thought, well, I kind of think I know what this is all about and what is expected of me and what this requires. And I like doing that role now. I love playing that girl.
No, that's awesome. So we have a few more questions. And one thing I want to see, this will be, let's see, could be a really great question. What is one thing you've never told anyone else about your experience working on Freddy versus Jason? Meaning maybe it's just a memory of something, maybe some juicy gossip. One thing, even if it's time that you've never told anyone to this day.
Okay.
And you can make it up.
No. we'll never know.
No, but. It's real. It's funny because I listened to your guys' last week's episode with what's your name?
Kimberly Beck. Yes.
Okay, so I have a sort of similar thing. I don't think I've ever told anybody how in love with Jason Ritter I was during that. And that was sort of scandalous.
Really?
I had a boyfriend and he had a girlfriend. And I just like, I was just like obsessed and in love with him. And
he's cute.
Wow. He's very cute.
Yeah, he was so cute. I remember being so excited for the final scene that ended up sort of reshooting, but it's on the DVD when we have our like sex scene.
You guys
scene.
Are in bed together.
Yes, the little sex scene. Yes, and then he like has the glove, right?
Yes.
Which is a great scene. I don't know why they cut that. Maybe they, you know.
I think that they wanted it to be sort of more definitive and to have like the two main, that Freddy or Jason be sort of the last image that you'd see before the credits rolled, which I understand. But, and that was a little bit more subtle. But yeah, I just, I was so in love with Jason Ritter. It was crazy.
That is so funny. I mean, I can imagine. Well, I mean, I can. Yeah. I could imagine falling.
I mean, especially when you're fighting like huge, scary men. That's a bond. That's a bond.
So another thing we wanted to ask you was there ever, and I think we've talked about this because I know I've talked to you before, but was there ever talk of a sequel after it and bringing Laurie back for it, or Laurie and Will? Yeah.
Yeah, there was. There was. And in fact, I think when we signed our contracts to do the original, I think there was even like a writer in there like saying like, and if and when we do the sequel, that we'll, you know, make this amount of money and be guaranteed this, that, and the other. So I know that they really, I think we're intending to do one. And I'm not, I forget what the premise was going to be, but I know there's a comic book that one of the fans had brought to me, where my character is in it and Jason Ritter's character is in it. And I think it was Freddy versus Jason versus Ash, I want to say.
From Evil Dead, yes, I have heard of that, yes.
Yeah.
Which gets a little convoluted when they start putting like three different people in, right?
Yeah. But
what happened to your character in the comic? Do you know?
Oh, that's funny too, is that we're only in like the first like two or three pages and then we get like killed.
Really? Well, I hope if they were going to do a movie that they never did that. One of my biggest pet peeves with sequels is if they kill off a survivor from the last film.
Yeah, because you work so hard.
Exactly. Yeah.
I agree.
I wonder why a sequel, it must have been a rights thing, because I know it did well at the box office. Amazing. And it must be a rights thing with so many people fighting
Paramount,
over the rights
line.
And everything. So if they did a sequel, would you be up for reprising the role?
Oh my God, of course. I mean, yes. I know. 100%. I've been wanting to do a sequel for as long as I can remember. You know, and then Freddie, supposedly Robert Englund, like, said, oh, he's so cute. He said that he's been declawed. and I guess since they did the remake or whatever of the newest Nightmare on Elm Street, that they sort of did that for the next generation, and that was the first time anybody else had ever played the role of Freddy Krueger.
The 2010 remake?
Yeah. And so that's what, and I saw him at a convention not long after that, and he was saying, he was so sweet. He like, he gave props to that guy and said that guy had done a really great job and this, that, and the other, and that, you know, sadly he had been declawed.
I love that.
He says that he's up for doing, so he's basically saying he was retiring the role of Freddy Krueger, but the last that I heard, he's up for doing it again himself. So that's pretty awesome.
I know, that is really awesome. Random question about one of the lines in the movie. So you have a line, obviously, that I'm sure you remember that was in like every trailer, which was Freddy versus Jason.
Place your bet.
Okay, I have to ask and be honest. What did you love that line, or did it make you cringe?
Yeah, why did they cut it from the film?
I liked it. I remember. You know, it's sort of one of the most memorable lines. You know, because I can't remember everything that I say in that movie. If people remind me, I can sort of make sense of it. But I remember. Yeah, that was such a. I thought that line was kind of amazing because it summed up the whole movie right there.
Yeah. It was just so weird because it was in all the trailers and then it wasn't in the movie, but it's in the, so they just released a huge, huge box set for all the Friday the 13th movies. And obviously they have Freddy versus Jason. Yeah. And it's one of the deleted scenes. And I'm like, there's that line. It's like Ritter and it's like, they start fighting and you say it, Freddy. I was like, that happened.
Like, right. What's funny too is that I guess so when I was doing the cheerleading movie that I was talking about called Man of the House, it's a long story, but a friend of mine that sort of was my mentor, is my mentor. Her name's Sarah Kelly. She's a writer. She is like the girl of this little group that consists of Robert Rodriguez, Mike Judge, Richard Linklater, and Quentin Tarantino.
Yeah.
And so they visited the set of the cheerleading movie I was doing. And it's so funny. Quentin was talking to me, and he came up to me, and he said that he had gone to the premiere of Freddy vs. Jason, and he said he was so excited and waiting the whole entire time to hear me say that line. And then he was like, no, it wasn't in there. He was like, I sat through the whole thing because, like, yeah, I guess – that line was so memorable from all the trailers and all the commercials. And he said that it went from like the opening credits to the closing credits. And he was like still waiting and waiting and waiting until people started walking out of the movie theater. And he was like, what happened?
I wanted to place my bet. I'm placing my bet. It is a great line. It's just so funny. Much like a trailer type of line. Like, I almost feel like it was written for trailer purposes. You know what I mean? It's like, hey,
yeah, I hear what you're saying.
You know, one of the final questions we wanted to ask you was, do you still talk to or keep in touch with anyone involved in the film? Any of the actors in the crew, any director, anything?
Well, obviously Robert Englund I see frequently at conventions, as well as Catherine Isabel.
Yes.
Who played Gib.
Yes, exactly.
And then I see a couple of those people. I haven't seen or talked to Kelly. That's not true. I've seen her twice since then. But I saw her once at a bowling alley and once at some event. And she, again, was just so lovely.
Did she give you backstage passes to when Destiny's Child performed at the Super Bowl? I mean,
Do you ever see your neighbor Steve?
We have to tell for the listeners. Yes. Yeah, so Monica lives next door to one of Tim's ex-boyfriends. I don't know
That's
if you knew
right.
That is so random.
Small gay
right.
world.
I forgot about that. Is that the last time I saw both of you?
Yeah.
Was that at the party?
The Halloween party.
The Halloween party last year. That's amazing. That's crazy.
Wait, and sorry, you were saying about people that you still talk to. You said you saw Kelly Rowland twice. Have you talked to Jason Ritter at all? Or are you guys rekindling the romance? Just kidding.
No, I think he's married, right? He's married now.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we didn't even have a romance.
I know.
But I remember him saying, like, because he knew I was in love with him, and he was so sweet. It was sort of like how my mom tried to explain to me the difference between fantasy and reality. And I remember Jason, this is right at the end of the movie, sort of said, you know, Monica, I understand that it might seem like, you know, we're a couple and we're in love. And it makes sense that you could think that, but we're not. Really?
we're not, and there's not two serial killers coming after you. And you're like, and then you went back to your second grade days and you're like, no.
What?
You're such a good actress, you know. There you go.
Yeah, I'm so method. I just am delusional. Yeah.
Oh, I have a quick question for you. Speaking of hot guys, and you know, you in the movie Snow White, you were like 18, and Gil Bello was like 30, right?
No, I was 15.
15?
Yeah, I was 15. Yeah, and Gil Bellows, he was like 30. I know, isn't that funny and how things have changed? I wonder if they would get away with doing casting like that these days.
I mean, in the defense of the movie, it's not like there's some like erotic.
No. I just brought it up because, you know, was there a kiss between you guys? I don't even remember.
Yes, yeah. there was.
Yeah.
I was so nervous about that too. I remember just being so, I had a huge crush on him too.
What about anyone from the creek?
Oh, from Dawson's.
Sort of, maybe, you know, well, He wasn't Joshua Jackson or James Vanderbeek, but his name was Jason Bear. He later
on. Oh, yeah, I remember him.
He was from Roswell, I think.
Yes.
Okay.
He was in one of those movies. He was in a horror movie too. Was it The Grudge?
I think he was in The Grudge.
Yeah.
He's cute. He was cute. I liked him. So I guess I kind of had a crush on him. Not as crazy as Gil Bellows or Jason Ritter, but
No, I love it. And I totally get, I totally get it. It's like when you're acting every day for a certain period of time with someone, you develop bonds with them. That's why a lot of people are either become good friends, or how about people that have met like their significant others on sets and things like that, you know?
Very easy to do. I mean, I have, speaking from no experience.
Well, I think that's all we have.
Oh my gosh.
We're so, so, I know I've said it a million times, but
we're so grateful that you decided to do this with us.
Yeah. And we are such fans, as you know, but like, and again, we can tell people out there that we've met Monica before, and like, she is a genuinely sweet, nice, cool person.
Thank you.
Like multiple times we've met her, and she's always been like the most gracious, the most like
approachable.
Yes, approachable and stuff. So we're
usually I'm scared.
No, I know, and like. No, and we're Tim gets scared very easily. I know, but it is so nice.
I use it.
It's so nice to be able to talk to you and to, like, ask you questions about the movie. And like, this is going to live on. And seriously, like 25 years from now, you're going to be doing appearances about this. Like, that's really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. It really is. Forever. It really is. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, but thank you so much again for doing
Tell
this.
Tell Steve I said hi.
Steven. Okay, yes, I'll tell them both.
I will. Well, yes, thank you so much again, and hopefully we will talk to you again soon at some point.
Okay, love you guys.
Okay,
thank
love you.
You
too. Take care. Okay, bye. Thanks for listening to Happy Horror Time. We're so grateful you've taken the time to listen, and we hope you'll stick with us and spread the word to your friends, because there are many upcoming horror movies we'll be discussing and tons of horror celeb interviews on the way.
We'd like to take a moment to ask our listeners to check out Happy TV, a brand new free streaming app and website with content dedicated exclusively to the LGBTQ plus community, with a special emphasis on content created by members of the community.
Not only does Happy TV include feature films, TV series, nonfiction, and short-form videos, but we are so proud to announce that they just added our podcast onto their streaming service. So in addition to the other platforms Happy Horror Time is currently on, you can now find us on Happy TV. That's Happy TV as one word, with happy spelled with an I, not a Y. You can download the app from any device, and it's completely free.
If you'd like to stay updated on our developments, please like and follow our Happy Horror Time page on Facebook. You can also follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Happy Horror Time.
And if you'd like to support Happy Horror Time, you can sign up at patreon.com/happyhorrortime. Patrons will get access to premium content like bonus episodes, additional audio, and more.
And if you'd like to contact us to recommend a new horror movie or a horror celeb you know that you'd like us to interview, just email happyhorrortime@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you.
I'm Matt Emmert.
And I'm Tim Murdoch.
And thanks again for listening to Happy Horror Time.
Whoop, whoop, whoop.